is not original. We have reproduced, we have copied, we have made a schoolhouse very much like the one that was built in 1837 down the road in South Parsonsfield. Have you ever heard the expression, I had to walk 5-10 miles to school? Yes. That is not correct, and I'll tell you why. In the state of Maine, they made sure that the children did not have to walk any further than 2 miles to school. So, you children would have lived in the surrounding area, probably on a farm. You and your sister and your brother would have come to school, you would have brought your lunch pail, and you would have brought your books. You would have actually brought your books from home. I have very few books here. The books that I have, the state would have given me, but there aren't that many. So once again, you're coming to school, you're bringing your books, and you're bringing your lunch, and you have hiked a while. And I want to thank the student who brought me these lovely flowers and the apple. I certainly hope that they got permission from their parents when they did so. Thank you very much. Now, what I'm going to tell you is that I had in this classroom ages 5 years old to about 15 or 16. Who do you think sat up front? Yes, Zoe, please. Please stand up. Yes.
5 year-olds, ma'am?
Yes, that is correct, Zoe. Thank you. The younger children would have sat up front. And as you can see, there's not a desk. Does anyone have the answer for me why there is not a desk up front? Yes, Cammie, please stand.
Probably because they didn't know how to write or something.
That is absolutely correct. And not anyone has gotten that today. Thank you. And be sure to say ma'am.
Ma'am.
That is correct. They did not know how to write. So there was no need for them to have a desk. They would have used a slate, though, because they were going to learn how to write. So what I am going to do is, before we continue, is I'm going to show you a few things, and then we need to do some changing around. First of all, we would have had a school bell. You would have heard me ring the bell, which we're not going to do, but I would have rung the bell. You children would have come in. The first thing you would have done, the boys would be on one side, and the girls would have been on the other. But what I need to do, because I cannot teach my classroom like this, I need to say that I think we probably have more girls right now. I can't tell. Yeah, what I would like is, I would like the girls to please, you girls are going to stay put in the front row here. If I could have you, your name is?
Mark, ma'am.
Thank you, Mark. If you would please come and sit on this side, and we're going to exchange it with the girl. So the girl, please, in the back, if you would please come sit here. We're going to just... So I now have the girls on one side and the boys on the other. One of the reasons why I do this, you girls have pigtails and braids, and the boys would often pull them. And I can't have that in my classroom. Thank you. So I have the girls on one side, and I have boys on the other. Perfect. Now it's cold. I think we need to start a fire. What I would do, one of you children would have been assigned to bring me some firewood, which I have right here. If your parents like me, they would send nice, dry firewood, which I would appreciate, because now it's getting cold and I need to light the stove. If they didn't like me, for whatever reason, they would have sent green wood. Do you know how hard it is to light a stove with green firewood? It's difficult. It's smoky. It takes a long time. So I think someone must like me. This looks like nice, dry firewood. I also have water here. Can someone please stand and raise your hand first and give me the reason why you think we have water? Let's see. Mark, yes, would you please stand? Yes.
In case there's a fire, ma'am.
That is perfect, Mark. Thank you. However, in my bucket of water, I have a cup. This is a cup that you children would drink out of if you got thirsty. We have one cup. How many children do I have? We all use the same cup. They did not know about germs. Okay, so we now are having heat, and we're now going to continue. What we're going to do is we're going to learn some lessons today. What I need is for everyone is holding a slate or has a slate nearby. Everyone has a cloth. Thank you. Now, if I could have a teacher, please pass out our slate pencils. They're very soft. You cannot break them. So be very careful when you use them. You use them like a pencil right on your slate. So we're going to pass these out. Your brothers and sisters, they might have been older, but they would have helped me. They would have helped me teach the younger children. okay? Because remember, I would have had your little brothers and sisters in the front row. Okay. If you notice, we didn't start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Do you know why we did not? It had not been written yet. We're in the 1800s. That was not written until 1892. A Francis Bellamy wrote it on the 400th anniversary of Christopher Columbus discovering America. He sailed the ocean blue in the year 1492. So no Pledge of Allegiance because we hadn't had it written yet. However, we probably would have definitely sung a song, sometimes a hymn. That would not have been a problem. And I want you to know that we would go right into our lessons as soon as you came into school. You all are being so very well behaved. I'm going to refer to you as scholars. Once again, you're not students, you're not pupils, you're scholars. What we're going to do is we're going to first do a memory gem. What that means is on the blackboard, I have written a quote. I read the quote, and then you read it with me. Well done is better than well said. Ben Franklin. If you all would please read it with me now.
Well done is better than well said. Ben Franklin.
I would have asked you, please do not do it right now. I would have asked you to now write it on your slate, but I don't want you to. We don't have time. Then you would have studied that all day long. You would have memorized it. At the end of the day, I would have called on any one of you to recite that back from memory. They believed in this form of teaching. But what I need to find out now, what does that mean? I would like one of you scholars to please raise your hand if you think you know what that means. Well done is better than well said. Yes, Zoe, you raised your hand first. Please stand.
I think it means that if you do it and it means you did a good job, then if you...
Talked about doing it?
Yeah.
So in other words, actions speak louder than words. If you do something well, let's not brag about it. Let's just do the job well. Well done is better than well said. Thank you. That is called a memory gem. Now we're going to do some spelling, and you will need to use your slate pencil and your slate. I am taking a word out of the McGuffey's spelling book for your age group, and the word I am going to say, and then I am going to put it in a sentence, and I want you to write the word down. The word is crawl. Please watch the baby crawl across the floor. Please now, scholars, write the word crawl on your slate. Now, the older children would be able to do this. The younger would not. And then I would have probably have given the younger children a simpler word. All right, I think we had enough time. If I could please, if you would please raise your slates up so that I might see them. Well, I see we have a problem. You did very well, but you wrote small. I'm one person in the front of the room. You need to write big. That's one thing that the children had to do. Thank you. Thank you. Very well done, scholars. Thank you. Now I think it's time to do what we call mental arithmetic. Is everyone please erase their slates with their claws? Thank you. I don't see that we've broken any pencils, and I thank you very much. What I'm going to do is do a math problem, and I'm going to tell you how we would have done it back in the 1800s. I am going to read a math problem. You're going to listen to what I say. You're going to write the equation, the math equation, on your slate, and write the right answer. I am now going to read the math problem. And thank you for paying so much important. It's very important how well you're listening to me. John has 3 marbles. Samuel has 2 marbles. Jacob has 2 marbles. How many marbles do they all have together? So please write the equation on your slate. Yes. Do you have an answer already?
No, but that is an equation?
Equation is a math problem. You're going to be writing the numbers. You're going to be writing 3 marbles and 2 marbles and 2 marbles. We would have used the word probably equation, but it's the math problem. Okay, so I think I've already had you answer questions. I'm going to ask this gentleman right here. What is your name, please?
Sean.
Okay, Sean, I want you to stand up, please. And this is what you're going to say. And the rest of the children would have paid attention. You are going to say, John has 3 marbles.
John has 3 marbles.
Samuel has 2 marbles.
Samuel has 2 marbles.
Jacob has 2 marbles.
Jacob has 2 marbles.
Therefore,
they have
how many marbles?
7.
Marbles, ma'am.
Marbles, ma'am.
That is correct. He has given me the correct answer, which is 7 marbles. Now, I would like everyone, please, to hold up that equation or that math problem. And I see that you have done very well. Thank you. You wrote very large. I can see it. Thank you. If you would please now erase with your cloth that math problem. Yes, so. Please stand when you're asking your question.
Emily and Brianna behind me do not have erasers.
I am sorry, but often this would have been the case. You would have had to share. So I would have allowed you to turn back and to allow you to give her your eraser. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. But that would have been exactly the case back then. We didn't have enough to go around.
What do you think about this experiment?
I think that it's really cool we've gotten to see how school used to be in the past and how newspapers were made and all of the other things. I learned a lot from the schoolhouse.
What was one of your favorite things about the schoolhouse?
Well, the way that you got to write on a slate with a special slate pencil was pretty cool.
Have you done anything else really fun today?
Well, yeah, I really liked printing my print on a piece of paper at the printing shop.
Thank you, Zoe.
Thank you.
Ideas about toys and playthings from 100 and 150 years ago. Children, even a long time ago, liked to play. But of course, they couldn't play until they went to school, did their homework, and did their chores. Does that sound familiar? You have to go to school. You have homework to do. And you are old enough at home to be a responsible person for some activities in your family. So the same was true years ago. Children could play only when everything else was done. Now they lived out in the country, and maybe there were a few friends from school, but after school everybody just went home to their farms, and maybe they lived kind of far apart. So children often were just playing with their siblings, that's sisters and brothers, younger and older, or they were playing by themselves. They had to make up their own games, use their imagination, and maybe had some homemade toys, not store-bought toys usually. So I have some examples here of homemade toys, although truly these were not homemade. But you can imagine how easy it would be to find a jump rope. Any short piece of rope, you could play this by yourself or with a sister or a brother or maybe a neighbor. Easy. Maybe in the old days, somebody had a clever grandfather from scraps of wood, and he would make this toy. What is it? A top. And again, this was a nice toy for a rainy day to play in the living room because it was a quiet toy. these seem to be broken. This was another wooden toy. Can you see? Just plain, quiet, pecking chickens. Were these in the gift shop?
No.
No?
Nikita got them.
Yeah, I don't know how they got them.
I know you know what these
are. Yes.
Yo-yos. They even had them 100 years ago. Raise your hand if you have a yo-yo. Oh, look at that. This must be a good toy if it's been around for 100 years, right? Did you see these in the gift shop?
Yeah.
Yes. What do they call these? I don't even know their name.
Chinese finger trap.
Chinese finger trap. That would be a good trick to play on a younger child, huh? The grown-ups also played games when they had company come. Grown-ups might have dances, they might sing, but they also played card games. Children were not allowed to play card games because they thought it might lead children to a life of gambling. Gambling was not a good idea. It was not a good life because when you lost your card game, you also lost
money.
And that would not be what the frugal New Englanders and Mainers would like. That would not be how they wanted their children to grow up. So there were specific games for children, such as this game.
Old Maid.
How many of you have ever played Old Maid? Well, there's another great old game. They also had cards with pictures of maybe birds on it. I had that growing up. Maybe trees on it that were educational cards. How many of you have ever had educational cards? Maybe arithmetic was on it? Addition, subtraction? Sure. Cards are very good. Now, can't you make your own cards?
Yeah.
There's a homemade game. You can think of whatever you want on it, something you learned at school. Make up your own cards, and then you could play an imaginative game with your own cards. Before these were manufactured in this box, children might go out to the wood chopping pile and find little slivers of wood and pretend that they were this game.
Oh.
What is this game?
Pick up sticks.
Pick up sticks. Now to me, this looks like something I can buy at the supermarket called bamboo skewers. You might have seen them. I think they're about $1 for a package of 50. Bamboo skewers are very, very sharp. So if you wanted to make your own homemade game of pickup sticks, you would need to clip off the points of your bamboo skewers. You wouldn't want to play with those. They're too sharp. You could put magic markers for colors, and you could make up your own homemade game of pickup sticks. You could also use something else that sometimes you have around the house.
Toothpicks?
Maybe. Toothpicks would be short ones, correct?
Particle sticks?
Oh, that would be interesting. Well, that would be different.
You would have to cut them.
Do something. I was thinking of straws. You could also use straws. So you don't need to buy a game or spend money to make a game. And that we know because years ago, the kids didn't have money to spend on games. You know what these are.
Marbles.
And these marbles are made out of glass. And of course, they are present-day marbles. And glass marbles have been around for my lifetime. But back 100 or 150 years ago, glass was not wasted on marbles. They made windows, but not marbles, okay? So what could the children have used as a marble item?
Wood.
Maybe wood, if somebody could carve out for them, you know, those little spheres. Something else. That's all right.
Plastic?
100 or 150 years ago, no plastic. It did not exist.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Stones.
Stones. Nice. You can find round stones, particularly if you have a riverbed to walk in. In the summer, if the water dries up, you might find yourself, you'd need to find the smaller ones. We would call those pebbles. The small stones are called pebbles. What else might be used to make a homemade marble?
Rubber balls?
I don't think we could make a rubber ball. There's a thought, though.
I don't know where. Ball.
No plastic 150 years ago. Didn't exist.
Clay.
Clay is a kind of soil. It's all in my front yard. It's kind of gray, and in the spring when it's wet, it's actually slimy. If you try to walk on clay soil in my front yard, it's like walking on ice. You can take up clay from the soil, squeeze it, and if you open your hand, of course, it sticks together like a snowball. But you could roll small clay marbles and let them dry and see, you might even be able to color them and see if that would work as marbles. But you have to think about the size. They need to dry.
Rubber band balls?
I would suspect there was no rubber bands 150 years ago.
Rubber band plastic?
Pardon?
Rubber bands are plastic.
But we no plastic?
Yeah.
None? Didn't exist? Plastic did not exist 150 years ago. You had to use your imagination.
Okay, this is the Dr. Trafton House. This community of Newfield, Willowbrook, is a very lucky community to have had a doctor. A lot of rural communities did not have doctors. Dr. Trafton originally was a school teacher, and he actually did some farming. And then after he was married and had two children, he decided to become a doctor. He went to Bowdoin, which you may have heard of before, and became a doctor. Meanwhile, his wife, whose name was Anne Roxalana, they called her Roxa, was here with the two children supervising the carpenters who were building this house. Now, when they bought it, they just had a couple of rundown buildings, and while he was at medical school, they built the barn that you were just in, and a few of the back rooms. And then she and her son and daughter moved into the house, and Mr. Trafton came back, or doctor at that point, Trafton came back and lived with them here too. This was in 1854, 1856 time. Then about 4 years, 5-6 years later, an elderly aunt and the grandmother, the doctor's mother, lost their husbands, and they came and lived in this house too. So they had another building project, and they added a couple of rooms down here, they added the hallway, a couple of rooms on the other side, and some more bedrooms. Okay. Then in 1877, that would be about 17 years later, their daughter, remember, the one son, one daughter, Cora Bell, married the boy next door. His name was Frank Smith, and he was a dentist. And he moved into the house, and she moved into the house, and they had two children. So this was a very busy house full of many generations of family, okay? And they did another building project. They added another kitchen for her and her family. This is the way it was done back then. Family took care of family, and many generations lived together in an old house. And old houses became big old houses because they just kept adding on. Question.
How do you know all this?
I study.
Cool. Yes. I see a hand, but I can't see a face. There you go, hon. Okay.
Do they have a bird?
Yes, and we'll talk about that when we get in. Did you see the bird cage?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, moving along here. This is the first room you're going to go into, and it really is a room. It's an important room in a Victorian house, is the hallway. Yes. Now the Victorian times is basically what we're talking about here at Willowbrook. This is more Abe Lincoln than George Washington, okay? This is more stoves than fireplaces, okay? You're talking Civil War, turn of the century, up to World War I. That's what Willowbrook is all about. Now, at this time, halls were extremely important because the Victorians, well, to put it not so nicely, were snobs. They really were. They had decided that there were classes. There were the wealthy, prominent, important people, and then there were the rest of us. So if you were somebody of importance and you came to visit, then you would go in the hall, and after a little bit, you'd be taken maybe into the parlor or the dining room. If you were one of the others, then you probably would be sent back around to the kitchen in the back. You might be a tradesperson, you might be a delivery person. You didn't belong in the front hallway. This hallway is particularly important because the doctor practiced medicine in this hall also. What happens when you are sick? What do you do?
You go to the doctor's office.
You go to the doctor's office. Not true at this point in time. At this point in time, the doctor came to you. And when you were down in the carriage shed, there were two big black vehicles. One was a black sleigh with the runners, and another was a black wagon. Those were the doctors. And he got in those and went to your house and took care of you. The reason that I say he did practice medicine in the hall is if you lived in one of the buildings that was very close and you weren't too sick, he would practice medicine in this hall. But most of the time he went to see you. You're going to go through the hallway into the next room, which is the parlor. I'm going to stand behind the fence. You need to line up in front of the fence, small, short people in front, taller people in back, and then the minute you get there, be quiet, because I have to wait for you to be quiet, and we're really short on time. Okay, let's stop. Okay, somebody asked about the birdcage. They didn't have radio, TV, DVD players, that kind of thing. So what they would do is they catch a local songbird, just somebody outside, a bird outside, and bring it in and put it in the cage. If they had a lot of money, they might import a bird, like a canary, a really nice bird, and put that in the cage. But the doctor did not have a lot of money. He was prominent, he was important because he was a doctor, but he doctored to farm families, okay? This was a poor rural community. People had farms. What they had was chickens, fresh eggs, produce from the garden, but not money. So that's how he would have been paid. And that's not a very good way to get to be rich. But I'm sure he was very much appreciated. This is the picture of the doctor over here, Dr. Trafton, his wife, Roxa. And then over here is their only son, Charles. And this is kind of a sad story. Charles was a brilliant student. He wanted to be a doctor too. He went to Bowdoin College and did a wonderful job up there. They were very proud of him. He came back to Newfield to practice. The community was elated. Believe me, they had two doctors. Unfortunately, he caught diphtheria from his first patient, who was a child, and he died. So it was tragic for both the family, the only son, and also for the community. Okay, in here, things to point out, as I said, this is the time of stoves, not fireplaces. This would have either been wood or coal. And the boys, you would have been responsible for keeping a wood box or coal shuttle full so that there was plenty to stoke the stoves during the day and keep everybody warm or as warm as you can with these kinds of things. Lighting, there's no electricity. You had lamps, okay? People got up early, went to bed early, because they needed the daylight. They did not stay up late, usually a little bit maybe, but it's very hard on the eyes to try and read with these kinds of lamps. So they tended to go to bed early. Kids all want to know what this is. What do you think this is? Anybody want to guess?
The poop pot.
No?
A spittoon.
A spittoon. Thank you. And what's a spittoon?
You chew the bottle.
tobacco and you spit it in there.
Right, and again, that would be something that the boys would probably clean out. Lucky you. Okay, this is what parlor furniture looked like. These are orange, but they really liked red. Victorians used a lot of red. And to be honest with you, one of the reasons they did was because red does reflect light, and it gave them just a little bit more light to use red. Dining rooms, and when we go into the dining room, you'll see that's red. Dining rooms were often red, bright red wallpaper. You would not normally be in here very often. Sundays, yes. Play a few parlor games, perhaps. Look at the stereoscope, which you've already seen before. Read your Bible. Play with your Noah's Ark. But most of the time, this room would have been for company. When the minister came to call, when important friends of the doctor came to call, the children did not spend much time here. Okay, we're going to move on. Let me go first, because I have to get behind a gate. I did not tell you a fib. There was no doctor's office in this house. What I want you to remember is that this was Cora Bell's dining room, but we don't need two dining rooms when we show kids the house. So we took her dining room, and we put all of the doctor's things in it, because the museum had his things, but he did not have an office, okay? Now, in here, there's a bunch of different things that are interesting. These are his black bags. Doctors did carry black bags, and those are his. He would have had it on his sleigh or on his wagon. That's a crutch. This here is what you would have used if you had broken your leg, and they come in a variety of sizes depending on the person's leg, and this would go right up against your leg, a splint, right, and rags would be wrapped around it. Now, this is quite different. Today, you break your arm, you break your leg, they put a cast on it, you keep on going. With these, you were pretty much bedridden and then home-ridden because this did not keep your leg from moving very well because the rags, of course, would loosen up. And so it was definitely more serious back then. The doctor was usually the dentist also. And this is called an extractor. What do you think he used that for?
Take out some of these teeth. Pull out someone's tooth?
Yeah. Usually if you had a toothache, that's what they did. I mean, if it was bad and you wanted to go see somebody and have it taken care of, the doctor would pull it out. There wasn't much else he could do. Other things that are interesting. Oh, the kids always want to know what this is. Anybody know?
Poopa. It's
a bedpan. Bedpan. Basically, for people who are sick and can't get up and go to the bathroom, this is put in the bed with them so that they can use that. Today, if you're sick and you go to the doctor, he probably will take some blood, right? And they send it to a lab, and they look it over, and they try to find out what's wrong with you. Back then, it was urine. Everybody knows what urine is? Okay.
Yes.
They would, no? Pee. Okay? They would collect some of that, and this is one of the machines that they use to try and figure out what was wrong with you. This uses centrifugal force. Okay, they put some in these little containers. They turn it around and get it going. And through centrifugal force, things would separate. The urine would separate. You'd have particles and liquid. The doctor would look at it and try and figure out what was wrong with you. They did not know anything about germs, a lot of stuff that we know today. A lot of their medicine was their best guess because they just wasn't the science yet to make people well. Okay? One of the things that they did know about was electricity. You need to hold that with your hand. Thank you. You need this hand. They knew about electricity, and you need to hold hands. This is for science. Okay. They knew about electricity. They knew it was important, but they didn't know what to do with it. They hadn't invented electric lights. They just didn't know. And one of the things that they had figured out was that there are electric currents in your body. We have electricity in us. Okay. So they thought, if we can rearrange some of the electricity in the body, maybe we can cure people. So this is an electrostatic machine. And I'm going to give you just a tiny little shock. You tell me when it's when you feel it. Okay? And it's supposed to cure you of what you have. Uh-oh.
I wish I could try.
We can get it going here. There we go. Can feel it? Yeah, okay.
Can you try?
Basically, excuse me. Yeah, basically you're cured. Feel better?
Can we try?
Time.
I wish we could, but we don't.
It keeps falling off.
Yeah. Well, all these things are old, then. They're very old. Okay, we're going to move on. I got 2 minutes.
Did you have a good time at Willowbrook?
We did.
And we hope you did too.
Bye.